Solomon says a woman who is unregenerated is like a gold ring in a pig's nose. You know, it's just so out of place. The pig is sticking his nose into the muck, and yet it's wearing a nice diamond encrusted ring in its nose. Just seems a contradiction in terms. Someone who's not transformed, might even be regenerated, saved, but not transformed. So the person's actions and attitude and the person's words, they jar the spirit. Because you're in that environment, you're expecting, you know, even if we are not totally transformed, you're expecting the journey of transformation. And so, for us, there's a responsibility to embark on that journey of transformation. That we are transformed, the Bible says, by the entire renewal of your mind. And the Bible goes on to say, by its new ideals and its new attitudes. Transformed. So, there's a hunger, or should be, a hunger to learn the new way. There's a hunger, you know, to drop the old way and pick up the new way. Pick up the new way of treating a lady. Because the old way is completely dysfunctional. Pick up the new way of speaking. Pick up the new way of thinking. And there's nothing more joyful than being in a relationship with someone who's been transformed and is continuously being transformed. There's nothing more joyful than that. That's what makes marriage such a joy. And it is only when that transformation has taken place that we can then, the Bible says, prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. So, how do I get to the point of God's will in my life? An unregenerated person is not going to get God's will. A person who's not transformed is going to struggle to find God's will. But a person who has been transformed and continuously is being transformed finds that they find themselves in a place where they are walking in God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. And God does help us in that process of transformation. Yeah. By two things. Number one, He gives us His Word, His Bible. That's why if there's anything, any virtue that you acquire, it must be this. This is what is going to change us. This is what is going to break down the ideals that we had. Break down the pattern that we had. And you know, patterns are very interesting things. My father, While growing up, my father was, he shaped my life a lot. So, hard work, diligence, integrity, as we saw it then, he taught me. But he also shaped my attitude to marriage and my attitude to women. So, my father was a very charming man and quite a womanizer. But he would say certain things, or I would see certain things. So he never brought a woman home. He felt that integrity was to keep your home intact. And it didn't matter what you did outside, but honor your wife. And he would say things to me like, a good man always sleeps in his own bed. So you could go out, but at least by 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning, you must come home. And from when I can remember, my sister is here, she'll tell you. From when I can remember, my father always had a guest house. Always had. I don't know. From the moment I could walk, my father had a guest house. And all the stuff could happen in the guest house, but never in your home. My father never raised his voice against my mother. Never used an abusive word against her. I've never used an abusive word against my first wife or my present wife. Never. Once I called her a term which she felt was abusive in all the time I married her. I don't even know how to do it because I didn't see a pattern. I just don't even know how to do it because I didn't see a pattern. But that thing molded me. And so, as I got to the age when I wanted to get married, I was working hard to be able to afford a guest house. Because for me, that was the pattern. And I looked up to my father, and he did it well. You know, he stayed with my mother till she died. I mean, in latter years, he went through changes and all that stuff. But as I grew up, this was the mold that I had. And so that mold shaped me. There was nothing wrong with having girlfriends, even when you were married, as long as they did not threaten your marriage. Now, that was my own mold. If most of us are truthful, there are molds that have shaped us. If I watched my father beat my mother, I'm going to fight not to be abusive. If I watched my mother run down my father, it's going to be a challenge for me not to know that that's a boundary that can be crossed. Because I have seen it so many times, it has become commonplace. I'm wired almost in that way. And you can pick it up in any which way. Their attitude to money would be my attitude to money. You know, it's unbelievable. Growing up, I never asked my father for money, really. When I asked him for money, he would say, go to the office and pick it up. And he never asked for what I was... He never really looked at the stuff I was going to do with the money. Do you know, I grew into adulthood and I lived my life like there was an office where I went to get money. Until I ran up credit card bills and was near bankrupt. And I realized there's no office anymore. But that was the mindset. That, you know, it was a mold that had shaped me. And you can look at it in every area. If you grew up in an environment that was bad-tempered, you're going to struggle to break that mold. If you've seen someone shout at someone repeatedly, shouting at someone will not seem abnormal. Huh? I grew up with it for 25 years. So she's saying, don't shout at me. I'm saying, no, 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 I'm making my point. I'm not shouting. Because that's a mold. Now, when we come to Christ, we are suddenly presented with a different mold. And then the fight now is, how can we be transformed? You know, how can we go through a metamorphosis? And those who go on to have good marriages are those who can undergo this transformation. In fact, I dare say the extent to which your marriage is successful is the extent to which you can undergo this transformation. I can put my hand on my heart and say that. If I've constantly been put down, constantly been told I'm no good, constantly been told I can't achieve it, constantly been told that there's nothing good about me, by a father figure who should be doing the exact opposite. You see, because what a father should do to a daughter is to show her, give her her first taste of the love of God. You know, make her a secure person. And when a father hasn't done that, of course, what comes out of that is that I'm so challenged inside. I just think I don't measure up. I think there's something that's not quite right with me. I'm constantly trying to measure up. And sometimes in my attempt to get love, I give what I shouldn't give, and I end up hurting myself. But then when we come to Christ, the process of transformation should start. And transformation is not haphazard, it's deliberate. It's intentional. And so I start to study the new pattern. Study the new pattern. And then I do that studying of the new pattern. With the second thing I wanted to say, the help of the Holy Spirit. You know, the way I see it, it's almost like I need a generator. I need something to generate the power to bring about transformation. Because it's challenging, transformation. You know, my father had a bad temper. My grandfather had a bad temper. I had a bad temper. I grew up in a house where my dad, he was a very calm man, but when he got infuriated, he would shout. The only person I didn't see him shout at was my mother. So I grew up in that mold. I would lose my temper, but I felt that it wasn't right to lose your temper at a lady. So I don't know. I can't remember when I've lost my temper in that way at a lady. But for a guy, I lose my temper. Before I got saved, fights? Normal. I mean, normal. And my sister would tell you, normal. Fights? I mean, you just could not, and it was always the things that made me lose my temper, injustice, control, and manipulation. I would lose my temper. I mean, I've fought in places that, when I think back to them now, I'm just embarrassed. But I was trapped in a mold. So I come to Christ and I realize that this is one of the areas where I must undergo a transformation. And part of what helps that process is being truthful to yourself. To say, I'm messed up in this area. Or I'm challenged in this area. And most of you know where you're challenged. Your environment might have shaped you so that you can't have ambition, godly ambition. You can't go for things. I know a marriage now that is so seriously challenged because of that. I know a marriage where the man in question was brought up in an environment that had 7 women. Watching this guy is like watching a woman. I mean, he's at home in places that most men would not be at home in. The wife was working hard, and he was just dusting around. I mean, he spent 3 hours here just with a group of women, just chatting. All the women loved him. The guy had been so his environment had so messed him up. I used to be fascinated by him when I started counseling that couple. I used to think, can this guy be resolute? But I took it for granted because I grew up in an environment where you were trained to be resolute. I used to think, can't this guy go for something? I said, does he feel funny? The wife is bringing home all the money. The guy didn't care. It was just a fantastic life to him. Until the woman rebelled and thought enough is enough. But then when I started counseling them, I thought, but who can blame this guy? This is the environment he was brought up. His dad had minimal input in his life. His mother and his sister shaped his life. I said, what do we expect from this guy now? I mean, what do we expect? Can somebody do more than they know? Can't do more than he knows. Is this making some sense? And that might explain to some of us some of the challenges we are faced with our environment, and the role models have shaped us. But transformation is God's plan for you. Amen. And so God gives you a new pattern and then gives you help in the Holy Spirit to bring about that change and that transformation. So things like When we submit to the Holy Spirit. And this is really the key, you know. I don't mind if you forget loads of stuff I say today, but try and take what matters. The key to this transformation is the extent of our submission to the Spirit of God. That's what brings real change. Our submission to the Spirit of God. Our partnership with the Spirit of God is what brings real change. Our yieldedness to the Spirit of God is what brings real change. And this is so different from religion. You know, this is all about relationship. That's why you meet someone, you knew them before they were saved, they've been saved, they've been Christians for 9 years, and you can still see that there hasn't been much change or transformation in their lives, check their relationship with the Spirit of God. It is probably non-existent. Because our relationship with the Spirit of God, the depth of it directly corresponds to the level of change in our lives. And talking about relationship with the Spirit of God, it really is, at its simplest, a relationship. Don't complicate matters with religion. It really is a relationship. The same parameters that define any relationship are the same parameters that define that relationship. The same way you develop a relationship with another person, the same way you develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because don't forget, the Holy Spirit is a person. It's not an it, or it's not a thing. It's a person. And make sure you remember that all the time. It's a person. A person that has feelings, that has emotions, a person that hurts and grieves, a person that is happy when certain things are done. A person, not a ghost. And so, when you develop that relationship, two things happen. Firstly, He empowers you to transformation. And then secondly, He convicts you when you do something that is not on the pathway to transformation. And after a while, when you develop that relationship, submission to the Spirit, after a while, you get what the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit. You know, in Galatians 5, verse 22, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Who doesn't want to marry somebody who has all that? If you met somebody who had all that, who's not going to say, please, when? And so someone who is submitted to the Holy Spirit is very attractive. Very, very attractive. Who doesn't want a man who has self-control? Who doesn't want a woman who is kind? Who doesn't want to marry somebody who is good? Just somebody who is good. Can you see that picture in your mind? Can you see that picture? A good person, a kind person, a patient person. Who doesn't want to marry somebody who is patient? A faithful person. Someone who's not going to give up. Who doesn't want to marry a peaceful person? I mean, the whole world is so stressed out. Then you come home and your house is like Kabul. I mean, who wants that? But who doesn't want to marry someone, you know, when you come home and you come into his arms, peace just descends on you. Peace. I mean, I have some friends. I just feel for them in their marriages. Their houses, from when they get home, she's waiting. She opens the door, she fires them. I mean, the guy's just saying, just give me a break. I've had a tough day. Let me just eat. Okay, we will talk about it. Let me eat. No, we must talk about it now. Who wants to marry that kind of person? Please, I don't want to marry that kind of person. I beg you. Life is complex enough. Praise God.
Amen.
And who doesn't want to marry somebody who has joy? Huh?
And who doesn't want to marry somebody who loves? What you need is somebody who has a spirit-controlled temperament. That's what you need. Somebody who's submitted to the Holy Spirit.
But you also make yourself for somebody. Because the person, you're looking for that kind of person. That kind of person is looking for that kind of person.
Amen? Praise God. Amen.
You have questions? Okay. What?
I'm done for that session. Amen.
Do you want us to take some questions in 10 minutes, or what do you want us to do? Now. Okay. All right. Did that bless you?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a start. That's a start. Amen. Please, please, you know, take your focus off the other person. Work on yourself. Work on yourself. Okay. All right. We have a tea break, I'm told. And then we're going to do questions. I'm going to try and answer all the questions I get, because I know as we talk, it will raise questions. So we have a tea break for 10 minutes. And then if you've got questions, write the questions and put them in the box, in the red box. Just write the questions and put them in the red box. Amen. And I want to pray for you that you will find that kind of person I just described. Seriously. Seriously, that's my heart's desire for you. You know, I've found it 2 times in my life. So you must find it once. You must. You must. Go and talk to God. You talk to God. Go on, just talk to Him, your heart's desire. In what you've heard. Start by asking God to give you the grace to become that kind of person first. Because you're looking, but somebody else is looking for that kind of person. To become that kind of person. So talk to God about yourself first. About yourself. You know that transformation we spoke about? Ask for the Holy Spirit to help you. And commit yourself to a new relationship with the Spirit of God. You know, He's a person. He's not an it. You know, so talk to Him. Listen to Him. And then just tell God, God, as I go through my transformation, lead me to a transformed person. Let's start to bring our prayers to a close. Father, we thank you and we bless you. Lord, these are not just religious exercises or gatherings or seminars in which we think we can help ourselves. We acknowledge that it is by your grace. And Lord, we have come before you, God, and ask that you will, by your Spirit, bring about a transformation, further transformation in our lives. And we have also brought our heart's desire to you for those of us who are interested in the institution of marriage, that you should order our steps across the path
of someone who is transformed and being transformed daily. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
You are listening to a message from Tight Knots. Tight Knots is the marriage ministry at Jesus House, and our vision is to see couples build Christ-centered marriages that will last a lifetime, be a light to the world, and leave a legacy to future generations. Thank you for listening. Please visit our website at www.tightknots.org for more information.